Welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor Podcast. Catch the live show weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at InternetAdvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown with you. And the whole gang is in the house, and have we got a program lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about, hey, Dad, listen to this, ways for you to get a good deal on gifts for Mom for Mother's Day. Yeah, that's right. You still have another week. We'll also be talking about mobile tech and the jobs that it's bringing to Michigan, and heaven up, that's a new way to connect with other Christians. And we'll be talking about that as well today on the Internet Advisor, as well as taking your questions. You know, I think we ought to start off with a rousing round of hail, hail, the gang's all here. Because we got everybody in house. Gary Baker, good to have you with us this weekend.
I'm back.
He's back. Ed Riddell, thank you for joining us, of course.
Always great, Foster.
And Cal Carson, good to have you here, too.
Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Indeed. You know, guys, normally at the beginning of the program, we talk about news items, like the big IPO coming up for Facebook this next week.
And that's all over the place.
Yeah, that's all over the place.
Lots during their quiet period, of course.
Yeah, that's why everybody's talking about
it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, instead of talking about news items, I thought what we try to do at the beginning of the show here is just talk about, where do you get your news items from? What sources of news do you use during the week to keep up on all things tech?
You mean other than our kids?
That's true.
And what about you?
Well, I have my homepage set up too with Internet Explorer, and most browsers you can have multiple tabs open up simultaneously.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I have news.google.com.
Okay.
I got rid of news.yahoo.com because they just polluted me with so much advertisements, you know, because of the troubles they're having.
Right, right.
And then, of all things, a website I discovered a couple months ago called now.msn.com.
Oh, really?
And it's not necessarily technology, but it's, you know, what's going on, search trends, and
interesting.
It's just an interesting, keeps my attention.
How about you, Cal?
Are you talking about news or just tech news?
Like tech news. Not news, but necessarily, but tech news.
Well, I generally, because I'm such a Mac head, I generally go to four different sites every day. That's OSX Daily, Mac Rumors, Mac Group Detroit, and also to the Apple website itself for that type of information. With an occasional spinoff over to places like maybe even Yahoo or CNET and, I'm trying to remember that.
ZDNet? ZDNet or PC World Magazine.
I mean, eWeekly.
eWeekly.
Yes.
eWeekly is another good one, I know of those, but don't really count on them. Gary, how about you? Now, CIO, you must have CIO.
So I go, Information Week, CIO Insider, CIO Forums. But then a lot of other, you know, tech news, and there's just a number, a lot of the big technology media companies are putting out, you know, very niche kind of, you know, daily feeds, RSS feeds. So I pick up a lot of those, obviously.
Oh, okay.
CSO.
And that way it comes
security,
to you.
Security. Right? Yeah. You know, that's their security thing. Mm-hmm. And mobile. There's a great RSS feed, mobile enterprise. And so I get all of that every day. Mm-hmm. And some of them I set up to just digest so that they come once a week because I can't deal
right,
with
you
every
can't.
Day.
If you try to keep up with all the stuff out there, be crazy. That's why I was curious what you sift with. Now, I know occasionally you guys will send me information, and what I try to do before I tell you folks what I use is I'm trying to use our Facebook page now to sift through some of these things. We're not, of course, going to be the place for you to get all of your tech news, but in case you're interested, what I try to do when Ed sends me an article or Gary or Cal, and I'm picking them up as I go through the week as well, is I try to put that onto our Facebook site. So if you haven't yet clicked on to friend us on the Facebook link that's on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, I really suggest you do that, because stuff comes up during the week that Ed will see from his sources, or Cal or Gary and stuff that I see as well, and that's popping up. So, you know, if you trust the crew that's here, these are the things that kind of catch our eye. And so we're digesting it even further for you, just for what it's worth.
Well, and a lot of times what I do, because I have a lot of my mail and my RSS feeds going to my mobile devices, my iPad, my iPhone, I can't have that much coming to them all the time. Right? Yeah, I have three different devices then that they're going to. So I filter them off into separate folders before they ever hit my inbox.
Oh, that's
and
clever.
That way, yeah. Then, and I have them set up so that they all go into separate threads. So now I can go down through all of my, you know, search security world weekly, and that'll all go into one site, or my info world daily digest will all go into one site, so then I can quickly go through. And there's some sites that are better for certain types of topics than others, and you kind of figure that out after a while.
There was a new Mac one that's come out. What is it called? Shoot, I just saw them. The guys have put a new blog out for Mac. It'll come to me in a moment. I find that I use a lot of the same ones you guys do. I can have a Google page. I go to the Google Science Tech page is where I pop into for a lot of the general kind of things that are on the radar. But what I've done is I've subscribed to a lot of the CNET newsletters.
Right.
Like social tech, weekly news, the community, and the mobile. And security are all ones that I get during the week. And then at the end of the week, they usually have a digest of this was the biggest story.
That's right.
And it really helps me to keep up what's going on, along with ZDNet. I have some stuff there. And Macworld Daily, I also have as one of mine, Cal, along with the OS X and Mac Rumors. Occasionally, I'll feed off to those, but they're not primary.
And just for the lighter side of computing.
And Cal, I do a lot with my iPad. Because if I'm out traveling, I've got a few moments here or there. You know, I might go to Zeit, and I have that filtered off into different things that I like. I don't know. You probably use different news apps on your mobile devices as well.
I basically use the same apps that I use on my Mac as well. But there's a couple of other ones that are out there. And then I got them on my in my newsstand type area, so they just come up every day.
Right.
And they feed
me. That's right. That's
like
one of
five or six different magazines I get fed every day.
So these
and then, you know, when he has an extra moment or two, like at a red light.
So you're the one.
Beep, beep, beep. Yes, I have been honked at for not moving on while I was looking at some email. Ay, ay, ay. But it's kind of interesting that there's so much coming in, you do have to find a way of filtering it out. And we just mentioned these things to kind of give you folks some idea of the smorgasbord of things that are out there. But every week, what we try to do throughout the week is, on our Facebook page, pop up some of those things that are interesting, we think, or important for you to know about as well.
It allows us to stay in touch with technology so we can help our listeners.
Absolutely. And speaking of staying in touch, you want to sign something good for Mom for Mom's Day? Then you better stick around, soldier. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, with you along with the whole crew here. And guys, we all have this one thing in common. There is a mom somewhere in our family tree. And coming up, if your moms are still with you, the big day is next weekend. And so we thought, for safety's sake, especially for the males in the audience, who tend to let this kind of to the last minute, we'd like to do something special for you, and that is to let you in on some of the great deals that there are out there for buying things online, in particular for mom. And to help us do that, we have Kate Forgatch with us. Kate is with the folks at freeshipping.com. And Kate, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and thank you for helping us.
Oh, I'm delighted, but I have to correct you right out of the gate. It's freeshipping.org.
I beg your pardon. It is free
shipping. We don't charge for any of our codes.
So you're not a commercial enterprise. You're a nonprofit organization?
Well, no, we're not nonprofit, but we don't charge anybody to use our codes
on
the website.
Oh, I see. That's right. That's important. Thank you very much for correcting that right out of the back. Actually, if you click on the link at our homepage, it will take you to freeshipping.org, not the .com that I have mistakenly put in there. But anyway, Kate, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Now, I said you're going to help bail some of us out because some folks, you know, perennially will forget and wait till last minute, you know, with Mother's Day coming up. By the way, have you guys noticed this? I don't know if you, I hope you've never used this excuse, you know, by forgetting something for your wife on Mother's Day. Well, "You're not my mother." I think I may have used that once early on.
And you learned
And
better.
I learned real quick, never do that again. Yeah, so guys, fair warning out there, if it's your wife, it's a mother, probably. And we hope that you will remember to honor her as well. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you have gathered together under the banner of freeshipping.org. So let's talk a little bit about what you've gathered there to help people with their online shopping for this great event.
Well, what we do on freeshipping.org is provide people with codes, promo codes, that they go to our site and they click on, that takes them to the website of the retailer, and then you get 10, 30% off, whatever the deal is. And there's some really good ones this year. I'm pretty impressed. People are going all out instead of just offering 10%.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite one is Harry and David. They have gift boxes and baskets of all kinds of goodies, everything from meat to sweets. And they're offering 20% off on orders of $49 or more.
Wow.
Now, you can go to freeshipping.org and find these codes and links through to them. So I'm not going to give you the code.
No. By the way, we should just tell people that if you go to internetadvisor.net, we've gathered that together for you.
Wonderful.
So if you're clicking that.
And there's really only a few retailers out there that can't participate. Like my mother likes Baskin Robbins. That probably won't work as a good gift for Mother's Day that they can ship. But probably there's many others.
Wow, you can get discount at Harry and David. You know, they make the only real fruitcake that's worth eating on Earth.
Oh, really?
Fruitcake
worth eating?
Yeah, they make a fruitcake, and the way they advertise it, and I'm not just plugging them, but it is good. It says, "Our fruitcake doesn't contain any of those green, yucky things."
I love it. I might buy one of those then.
Now, this is for Mother's Day, right? But you don't necessarily have to be a mother to use these coupons, do you?
No, you don't. They're available. This one is available through May 13th.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some time to take advantage of it.
Well, so you can order something for mom and at the same time, pick up a rinse set.
Well, because they have a minimum order of $49, you might as well order something for yourself as well.
and it's my daughter Lauren's birthday today on Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, happy birthday, Lauren.
Happy birthday, Lauren. And by the way, great timing with your birthday. So they can use it for that, too.
Everybody's celebrating her birthday today.
Well, another one of my favorites is Teleflora. You've heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
You just order over the phone or over the internet. They're giving 15% off any order. There's no minimum required.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a really good deal.
What's the most unusual or exotic thing that you guys are offering on your site?
Well, my favorite is Flirty Aprons. Flirt as in F-L-I-R-T-Y.
Okay.
And they're giving a really good deal. You take 40% off any purchase, no minimum required. And they're basically, something to lure your man into a little more fun in the kitchen while you cook.
I love this.
I wondered if it had to do with that. So these are adult aprons.
Well, and when we put this site up, I was, grabbing my son. I said, come on, let's we still have time for Mother's Day. Let's look at this. And it was interesting. He got to Target, and he was thinking about that. He skipped over Victoria's Secrets for mom right away. I mean, just straight to Zappos.
And
TMI, TMI, TMI. Brainwash.
However, but there are so many sites.
However, Gary is bookmarked.
You noticed that one, did you?
I know it's a Ghirardelli, the great chocolate makers are up there as well.
Yeah, they're perfect.
I love Ghirardelli.
Mm,
Swarovski. They're offering 10% off without any minimum order. But I'll tell you, for Ghirardelli, 10% is a great deal.
You know, go ahead.
Now, here's another question that I have, because I'm a big proponent of pushing local content, and I know you're all over the country, but in various areas and stuff like that. Do you have the site broken down where you can do it, like, by region, if you want to, like, subscribe to some of the local businesses in your area? Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, how does a business get on your site?
Well, firstly, we don't do local. Usually your best bet is to go with those Be Local coupon books.
Okay.
I think those are just wonderful, and they're regionally targeted. So you can get coupons to all kinds of companies.
Groupon does things like that, don't they? Where they focus on the local areas and like the Groupon parking. Mm-hmm.
And then how do you go about getting on that site if you're a major retailer, or do you guys go to them and have them and subscribe to them? How does that work?
Well, major retailers are already there, trust me.
Right.
We have over 4,000 retailers. But all you have to do is go to the Contact Us page.
Cool.
And we'll get you set
up. So, Kate, do you kind of represent then that middle ground of the retailers out there online?
We go from high end to low end.
Okay.
We provide Etsy free shipping codes all the way up to, say, Macy's.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Macy's and Nordstrom, some of my wife's favorites. Yes. I tried to get her into a Best Buy, which is also there. Not so much for her. No, she either thinks she's getting a major appliance or some sort of computer component. But
I can't imagine a more boring way to spend a day than wandering around Best Buy.
And I find it fascinating.
We do. Wait a minute now. Bite your tongue. No, no. No, it's Mother's Day. It's too close. I can't say that. Kate, let's talk a little bit about freeshipping.com, because you've got this thing I find fascinating. We link to it on our homepage called The Frugals.
Oh,
talk a little bit about that.
The superheroes.
These are a group of money-saving superheroes. I love The Frugals.
Oh,
we
yes.
have Coupon Sherpa. He-Man with a yak who helps you get savings through online coupons and supermarket coupons. We have Gift Card Granny, who rides around on a rocket-powered walker. And Granny has a great setup. What you do is you go on there and look for gift cards for companies that you're interested in. Then you can buy it for 10, 20, 30% off the face value. These are done through resellers, so they make their money in bulk. And they also buy your gift cards. Say you got one from Aunt Fanny on Christmas, and it's for Sierra Trading Post, and you have no interest in buying from them. You want something from Victoria's Secret instead. You just go on there, and you can sell your gift card, and then you can buy one if you want, or just pocket the cash.
That's sweet.
Well, and the other one, Mr. Free Stuff. I always thought of me.
Yeah, I love Mr. Free Stuff. Mrs. Sweepstakes. Those are our other two. Mr. Free Stuff is just a great conduit to finding all kinds of freebies that are out there. Merchants and manufacturers are always giving away great stuff, even if it's just a little packet of makeup. A lot of women, particularly, are very good at mining these free items. And then Mrs. Sweepstakes, I put up the specials for Mrs. Sweepstakes. It's just a listing with links to all of the sweepstakes that are available.
Oh,
and I tell you, I entered one the other day. It was for a Chevy car, and I was kind of like, yep, I'm entering this one.
Okay, we had to run, but folks, it's all there at internetadvisor.net. You have the links that will take you off to the frugalsfreeshipping.org and also some very special ones for Mother's Day. Kate, thanks for being with us. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Cal Carson here. We're having a great time with you, and thank you very much for joining us.
And you have to see Ed right now. He has a Toshiba laptop all apart, the bottom, everything that can come off the bottom, everything that come off under the keyboard, little screws sitting here, all sorts of things going on.
We got to give him something to do with his
He's
hand.
Up to his elbows. Just,
you can't do it when you drive.
That's a good point.
All he needs is a couple of cinder blocks over here to sit it up on.
Ed, there's something going on tonight you want to remind folks about.
Remember our guest we had in here, Third Degree Burns? We had Gary Burns in here about a month ago.
Right.
They're giving another benefit concert tonight in Lapeer at the Pix Theater at 7:30. Doors open at 7. Tickets are about $10 to $14 a piece.
Still available? Probably
still available.
To get there.
Seats are around 600.
Great
family entertainment.
So, Pix Lapeer. It is great family. And for a great cause.
For a two-hour concert.
By the way, just quickly before we get to our next guest, I want to remind, going back to our last guest who was on the air, Kate Forgatch from freeshipping.org. There is a freeshipping.com out there, but they want you to know they are not them.
Yes.
Because they charge for the services. And so we will make clear again, this is freeshipping.org, and I corrected the typo, but it was, anyway, it will click you off to that, just so you're aware of that.
We have a guest, actually, right now, and this is really exciting. Linda Dacian, who is the Executive Director President of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, MTAM, is here on the Internet Advisor Show. Welcome, Linda.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
We are excited not only about just mobile technology in general and everything that's going on here, but there's a special day coming up.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's actually, there's a couple of special days coming up.
Okay, well, I was thinking of the one on May 19th, I believe. Okay. But you tell us about both.
May 19th, Detroit Dev Days is sponsoring a Mobi Dev Day. And that is where they're going to be bringing together a lot of the Detroit area mobile developers and providing them with a lot of training and opportunity to really network and get some good education and then actually do some hands-on hacking.
Which is always fun. Yeah.
Ed, did you hear the word? Fun. Hacking? Your favorite word.
And you can go to our site, internetadvisor.net, link right off to the gomobilemichigan.org site and get information there. But Linda, tell us about the other one then.
The other one coming up is July 30th and 31st.
That
is actually an event that we at MTAM are sponsoring and producing, and that is a statewide mobile development conference, mobile technology conference that will include a mobile developer conference and hackathon. And that is actually going to be a multi-state event as far as the mobile developer part of it. It's also going to be a statewide exhibition of companies using mobile technologies, and we're also going to be bringing in a lot of the movers and shakers in the state and having them work with us to develop a statewide strategic plan for how we can make Michigan the standout state in mobile technology.
Oh, that sounds pretty great.
There's a lot of mobile technology here, isn't there?
There's,
I mean, people don't even know about this.
Well, can we stop for just a second, because I think some listeners are kind of fading away. Mobile technology, what does it have to do to me? It does have a lot to do with us.
Pick up your phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have a smartphone.
Pick up your
tablet. The two iPads in the studios here.
And guess what? You know, just the MDOT of most sites, you know, being able to mobile enable websites today so that anybody that has a mobile phone can get to it. I mean, the exciting part is it's not just happening on the East Coast or West Coast. It's happening right here in Michigan to a large extent. People don't know.
We've been excited to have a number of people in here who have developed local applications, mobile applications. But I'm getting a sense, and tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, that this is kind of just bubbling up now in Michigan in particular, that this is a unique moment in our state's economy.
It absolutely is. And I think one of the things that I want to make sure that your listeners understand is that mobile technology is actually multiple technologies, and it's a lot bigger than just the mobile development part of it. There's technologies such as machine-to-machine technology and telematics and mobile health and mobile commerce and, you know, just many, many more types of things. Mobile technology literally impacts every single industry out there. And it is going to change the way that we live our lives and the way that we do business. And while from a consumer standpoint, we get it. We understand it. Everybody's carrying mobile phones or tablets or both. Mm-hmm. We don't yet, for the most part, understand from a business perspective how much impact it is going to have. We actually have done some studies with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, and we found that for every mobile technology-related position we create in Michigan, we also create 3.9 additional jobs in the state.
Whoa.
The only other industry that creates at that level or higher is manufacturing.
And on your site, there's mobile by the numbers. Is that where all this is listed?
Yeah, we have a great deal of that kind of information there.
By the way, you can find a link to the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan off of our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Again, under the show notes, just click on that, and it'll take you to that site to learn more about some of the things that we're speaking about right now.
You know, I you know, can think back in my father 25 years ago when he was thinking about mobile technology. He was thinking catalytic converters. But we've come a long way since then, haven't we?
Well, we have, but what's interesting is it all sort of also brings us back to the same place, because if you think about this section of the mobile industry, or the mobile and wireless industry, as I call it just for clarification, it still brings us back to the automobile industry as well, into the area of telematics. Literally, yeah. Michigan is the global leader in the telematics industry because of Ford and GM being based here and the fact that OnStar and Sync are literally mobile technologies.
Yeah, and that are home-based right here, Cal.
Okay,
absolutely.
So-
and there are actually two international telematics conferences that are held here in Detroit.
Wow,
that's amazing.
For the novice listener that's out there that's not into technology as heavily as maybe we are, could you give a little definition of what telematics is?
Basically, that's the way for you to communicate with your vehicle or for your vehicle to communicate with other vehicles or for your vehicle to communicate with the street lamps or the stop signs.
Or with other cars that are out there as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep.
A lot of technologies I'm seeing that used to be at the very highest end of the Mercedes and the Cadillac and the BMWs, Infinities, are now making their way down more and more. So, for instance, we all have the backup assist now, not where you park, but those little buttons on the back of your bumper that tell you when you're getting too close to something. That used to be a luxury item. It's no longer there, and so much more now is coming where it's going to be reading things in the road, where it's going to be telling you where the car is in front of you, how fast it's going.
It doesn't need to beep at you, though. It'll just park itself.
Just saw a Ford commercial. A Ford commercial. I think it was a Ford commercial where suddenly, you know, the person wasn't braking fast enough, the car braked for him.
Absolutely.
So this is part of the telematics that we're talking about.
Now, the other side of mobile technology, when you walk away from automotive, is it just restricted to tablets and smartphones, or is the
Absolutely
laptop computer
not.
Still part of mobile technology?
Those are certainly a big part of it, but frankly, they're the tip of the iceberg. There is a segment of the mobile and wireless industry called machine-to-machine. This is where the huge opportunity is. Right now, there are about 100 to 200 million mobile devices that are in this machine-to-machine category. That is going to be an industry that, in the U.S., is going to go to 60 billion units.
Wow. Now, when you say machine,
globally.
It's machine-to-machine, you mean like car-to-car? I mean, what else would
car be? Car-to-car? Well, let's put it in very simple terms. This is an example that I use that people understand really easily. When your alarm clock goes off in the morning, it automatically will start your coffee maker.
Now I like that. Cal?
All right.
And that is an example of machine-to-machine technology at work. And these technologies already exist.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just putting them to use in our useful everyday tools for ourselves as consumers as well as for businesses to be able to make use of them.
And the good news for those of us here in Michigan is we've become kind of a hotspot for this.
That's
absolutely
right.
And that's the exciting part, folks, is that this isn't just, I mean, this, I really love the fact that this is becoming something that's unique. It grew out of the car industry in some way, but now it's feeding so much else.
Absolutely.
You know, with all the talk about making Michigan a new economy and using mobile technology and that sort of thing, and keeping our young people here in the state instead of them getting educated and leaving, what sort of education path should a young person be following if they want to become more in the mobile technology field?
Well, it's going to vary, you know, because I think the thing that I recommend most to people is that they follow their career path that they're interested in. Let's say they're interested in healthcare, but they also like the idea of how mobile technology can enhance it. Then they need to get some additional
kind of
education
developing
in mobile.
Exactly, developing from the inside out. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and we got this posted on our homepage. People can follow it to your organization, the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan. Linda, thank you so much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Internet Advisor with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson. That is the whole crew in the house. By the way, if you're looking for Eric Anderson's The Mac Minute, which today is 90 seconds, a minute and a half, we're going to be doing it at the beginning of a second hour of our program, so please stay tuned for that. And by the way, just one other note about the resources that we bring you every week on our Internet Advisor program and on our website as well. If you go to internetadvisor.net, underneath our story, our show notes, excuse me, which will give you all the links off to our guests, you'll also find a couple of items there, news items, that are also either have to do with what we're talking about today on the program or maybe something else that's of interest. Like, for instance, Mike Wendland, our old buddy, has got three excellent applications for moms. They're for iPhones or for iPads or for Android devices, for that matter, that you can help with things like scheduling, creating bring some order to the chaos of your life, all free. And there's an excellent article that he has there. The other article is a fascinating one on how Osama bin Laden, the world's most feared terrorist, had really lousy encryption on his documents when they finally cracked through. And they have just come up with some fascinating collection of documents that have been they've been able to get at because he just didn't take the time to encrypt his documents. It's kind of interesting, this man who hid very well from everybody else.
Well, he never needed to encrypt them. Nobody could find them to access the hard drive anyway. So.
But when they got them, they were able to look into it. It's by kind of a fascinating peek
into
the
world. By that time, he didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of interesting, apparently chronicling his mental state in his last days. So it's interesting from that point.
I'm making fun, but
you're
right.
But you're right. It was fascinating. Hey, there is social networks growing everywhere. Facebook, of course, being the behemoth on the block. They're going to be going for their IPO coming up. But there are other organizations out there, I think kind of worthy ones, that are gathering and creating little gathering places, if you will, that are safe for or focused on certain groups. And one that we just found out about recently, I love the name, is Heaven Up. And with us right now to talk about that is Chris Burkhart. Chris, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Well, all of a sudden I have another phone line on, and not Chris, so let me just see if I can unlock that and see if I can get Chris on. Chris, are you with me?
He's not there yet.
All right.
He was at Costco, and I know the Costco by me is like a dead zone.
All right, I'm going to put that back on hold, and Annie, could you check and see if he's there? Thank you very much.
Well, and we link off to his site,
yes,
which is an interesting site. First of all, it's just the way he's designed it, I think, is somewhat creative. And but when you think about social networking and all of the different places we're starting to see it, why not? You know, why not in something like Heaven Up?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and there are all sorts of special interest groups. I mean, even within your Facebook or LinkedIn, whatever, you have different kind of groupings within that. So it makes perfect sense that you would create a social network for, you know, different groups of people with different kinds of beliefs or, you know, who want to gather with people of the same thinking. And now I think we have him with us. Chris, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It was a long and winding road that brought you here, but we got you. Hey, tell me, why did you develop something like Heaven Up, this social network site for Christians, when there are lots of ways within Facebook of creating, for instance, your own groupings? Well, why create your own? Why reinvent your own?
Well, because this is, you know, designed exclusively, not, you know, I don't want to sound exclusive, but exclusively for Christians so that Christians can interact with each other and build and foster relationships with each other and other Christian organizations and ministries without having to wade through all the other junk that's on the other social networking sites.
So it's specific to, you know, to a special interest group, in this case religious, but there are all sorts of groups like this popping up, so why not this kind of group, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say the if you read all the kind of the news stories that are coming out right now, the next big wave of social networking is going to be niche social networking.
Right. Yeah.
It's not the next big thing is not going to be one big thing. It's going to be a lot of different big things, and I think this is the next big thing for the Christian community.
You know, it's interesting you mention that because one of the things that's coming out of this IPO coming up, the initial public offering for Facebook,
right,
is there's been a little bit of waffling now because initially it was $100 billion, and now it's been shaved back, and the shares are, I think, $28 to $35. In other words, Facebook is not quite being quite as expansive about their future as they were before.
Well, people aren't willing to invest as much because they don't see it as the single place to go, but exactly, one of many.
What?
Now, the biggest of many right now.
Right.
But
what you, Chris, have developed there, along with Wes McKinsey, has been this perhaps what is going to be the future of social networking, which is focused around a certain group of interests as well. Well, what's the response been so far?
Well, it's been amazing. We've had, you know, since we launched on Tuesday, you know, just a few days here, we've had hundreds of people signing up, and you can feel the momentum growing, and just all the response that we're getting back from the new users is very, very positive. But, I mean, we've put a lot of time and energy I mean, this is over 4 years in development. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is state-of-the-art technology with an amazing amount of features for a brand new site that's launched. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we didn't launch it with just a minimal amount of features. It has a lot of features, including a full music section so that mm-hmm. artists can promote their music and their, you know, and their band and their, you know, and their band mm-hmm. or, you know, their, you know, if they're a solo artist, they can promote their themselves.
You have Heaven Up Radio.
Well, yeah, and that's going to be actually a feature that's going to continue to grow. Right now it's just a single station, but as soon as more radio stations join up, then we'll have, you know, if they have live streaming music on the internet, then we'll add them as a station to that. So eventually that will be hundreds of stations of you know, radio stations that they can access through Heaven Up Radio.
Right. Cal?
So, Chris, is there any way I can look at your site without necessarily signing up for your site?
No, it's a semi-private site, and we did that intentionally because we don't really want just anyone to be able to, you know, go on there and, you know, kind of, I don't know, look around at people's profiles without becoming a member. We want to know who's on there and who's you know, looking at the profiles. So it's a semi-private site.
But it's not. But it's not restrictive. As long as I sign up, I can get access. Right?
Well, exactly, and that way we can at least monitor, you know, what you're doing on our site.
That's right. Okay.
Okay, because you know, it'd be nice to get a flavor for what you can actually see without necessarily being a part. Or decide whether or not you want to be a part.
Is there a way? Go ahead.
Well, you can read the daily devotion, and you know, that's posted on our main homepage without becoming a member, and you can just kind of you know, get a feel for, you know, what the site's all about by looking at the main homepage.
What are some of the? There have been some problems that Facebook has had, for instance, with privacy concerns. How are you planning on avoiding some of those things?
Well, we have a lot of different monitoring tools, and we have some staff that monitors you know, the profiles to make sure that there's nothing inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a way to flag messages, you know, any user.
Okay.
So as many users as we have, we're going to have that many eyeballs on the site. So everyone, it's not actually going to be a self-monitored as well as a staff-monitored site.
Okay.
So be a lot of... you can flag a profile, or you can flag a message or a video or anything.
Right. Well, Chris, I'm sorry we don't have more time, but listen, let's get back in touch with you when you've been on a little bit and talk about how you're doing, all right?
Sure, that sounds great.
Thank you so much. That's Chris Burkhart, who's been with us talking about the... Heaven Up site for those who are Christians, who are interested. There's videos, photos, groups, blogs, music, and more. Just go to internetadvisor.net, click on Heaven Up, and you'll be able to try it out yourself. Hey, come on back. We have another hour going, and that's when you call in and we answer.
You've been listening to a podcast of the first hour of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. It's your time. The phone lines are open right now, and shame on you if you don't ask that question. That one, you know, that's been bothering you so much and tearing the little hair you have left out. Remember, our mantra here is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. It helps so many people so often when you tell us what you're facing, because we can spend some time talking with you and help a whole bunch of people at the same time. So here's that 800 number, toll free again, 800-859-0957. And we do have some lines open right now. We'll be getting to Steve in Birmingham to start in just a moment. But before we do, and we're going to try to make this now a regular part of hour number two, at the very beginning, we're going to be playing Eric Anderson, who is our former producer, but he's still part of the program here. He produces the Mac Minute every week, which is a little report on what's going on within the world of Apple. And matter of fact, that's what we're going to do right now. So, Eric, pull back the veil on all things Apple.
This week on the Mac Minute, Apple sales and lost interviews. Apple released its second quarter sales report this week, posting its best ever sales figures. Apple says it saw earnings rise 94% to $11.6 billion, or $12.30 per diluted share. The company reports it sold 35.1 million iPhones and 11.8 million iPads in the second quarter, along with 4 million Macs and 7.7 million iPods. Also this week, a lost interview with the late Steve Jobs has been found, and it's coming to theaters.
We were on a mission from God, you know, to save Apple. The only problem with Microsoft is they just have no taste. You know, we didn't know much. We could build a little thing that could control a giant thing.
Steve Jobs, The Lost Interview, was originally filmed in 1995 for the PBS series The Triumph of the Nerds. The master copy was thought to be lost forever, but a VHS copy was recently found in the director's home. The copy has been cleaned up and restored using digital video techniques. In the 70-minute interview, Jobs discusses his views on then-future technologies, his views on technology and businesses, plus projects he worked on while working for Next and Pixar after being released from Apple. The film will be shown at select Landmark theaters starting May 11th and will be released on DVD later this summer. For the Internet Advisor and the MacMinute.net, I'm Eric Anderson, and that's the Mac Minute, give or take a few seconds.
Thank you so much, Eric. That does sound like a lot of fun. That interview sounds very interesting.
It's never give or take a few seconds. It's always over. I don't know how he works in radio. He's always over.
Occasionally, it's 60 seconds.
God anyway. Bless, we don't have a webcam here.
Right. Yeah, there's all sorts of people were actually dancing on the desks, not in this room, but in another room. Rich Lusinski, thank you very much for providing us with that entertainment and helping to engineer our first hour of the program. And Annie, by the way, I was enjoying the dance.
That's right.
And watching it, spectator only, honest.
And Eric Anderson is now running our board for the second hour.
Good to have you back, Eric.
Yep.
And that's what's, I think it really sounds neat that it's not just a retread of the Steve Jobs stuff that's out there right now, but it actually is going to give us a perspective on what he'd look forward to back in 1995, which you think of in terms of computer years is like what? Three eons. It's amazing how far back that would take us. Hey, let's get right to our callers. Folks have been calling in, and we want to get right to you and your questions at 800-859-0957. And hello, Steve from Birmingham. Let's start the program with you. How can we help you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Here's my story.
Okay.
I have a small little retail business in Birmingham. I've got about a five-year-old PC, Windows XP, mm-hmm. running a Microsoft point-of-sale software. It's becoming obsolete, and I have decided to upgrade the system. I've purchased a new 64-bit system, and I've also purchased a new QuickBooks point-of-sale software. Mm-hmm. My problem is I have a lot of in-process information that needs to be brought into the new machine, orders that have been, placed by customers that haven't been completed, etc. And I thought I would be able to just reinstall the Microsoft older point-of-sale software into the 64-bit system. It won't take it. Then I thought of possibly just slaving the hard drive from the 32-bit system into the new 64-bit system, and I've been advised that will not work as well. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on an easy way, short of manually re-entering all of the data.
Yeah, without doing, re-entering all of it.
So do you have a 64-bit point-of-sale system now? Because you'll need, you upgraded your hardware to 64-bit. Some of the applications will not migrate over to 64
yet.
No,
it's a brand new 2012 version of QuickBooks, QuickBooks point-of-sale.
Okay.
So it's 64-bit compatible.
Have you checked with Intuit, who makes QuickBooks, and said, hey, do you have any sort of import routine that will allow me to import that data?
Yeah, some of it can be imported, via Excel, but there's a lot of things that take place with regard to deposits that people place on particular orders, in histories and things that are most likely not going to carry over. And what I'm trying to do is, for about a 2-month period of time, operate both systems so I can close one out on orders that customers have placed and not yet received their merchandise, and not have at my sales counter 2 computers, 2 monitors, 2 mice, 2 keyboards. You get the 2.
Two for one. Okay. So Gary had a thought.
So actually, Foster mentioned these guys when he showed up here in the studio today. And it's somebody that we've had on the show from Apex Digital, and that's Jason Lamberis. they're a company that does an awful lot of this. And what they'll have to do is, it's all SQL-based, so that's good. They'll write a script to take your old information and put it into your new system. It's not tremendously easy, but it can be done. It's a whole lot better than trying to do it manually, where you've got all sorts of opportunities to make manual data entry errors.
Okay, so we're going to take a pause right now, and then we'll get back to you, Steve, and let you know more details on that. The number, by the way, still open, 800-859-0957. Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, early in the program here in our second hour, so lots of time for you to get your call in as well. Just want to go back quickly and touch base again with Steve from Birmingham. Steve, we ended this last segment. You had a situation where you had moved from a point of sale with an older XP machine to a new, brand new 64-bit machine.
I'm trying to.
And what you want to know is, how can you make that transition? And Gary gave you an excellent one in terms of the Apex.
Apex Digital.
Digital.
You know, they were at Midwest Technology Leaders Conference this last Thursday, and led a session. They're one of the big emphasis in industries of emphasis is retail.
Right, exactly. Right. And by the way, they're going to be helping me on Monday to try to move to Office 365, Office 365 on my Mac. In any case, so you've got that approach where you could give it to somebody who is a professional in the field and have them help make the transition. Ed has another suggestion, and this may apply for other people who have older systems and you've now moved up to a new machine.
Well, one of the things you said is you tried installing it on the 64-bit system, but what you did not attempt is Microsoft offers for Windows 7, and in especially 64-bit operating systems, Microsoft allows you to download free Windows XP for your Windows 7 system, and you run it in Windows virtual mode. Right. So you set up Windows XP for Windows 7. So you can have it set up, and it's like a little window. So anytime you need to access it, you could just maximize or minimize the window, and you can install that application in that virtual, and it'd still be on the same box. That's right. One method.
Until you then migrate the information slowly across, or the account gets taken care of, or whatever that happens to be.
Or, so, you know, or
Microsoft download sites, and then where?
Well, it's called Windows Virtual PC. And you could just go Google it or go into Bing and just type in Windows 7 Windows XP mode download. I mean, that's what I do.
Folks, just for the rest of you listening out there, this is a solution for anybody who happens to be moving from an old machine to a new one. You've got incompatible programs, like a 32-bit system to a 64-bit, which is much faster, more efficient,
etc. Yeah, you certainly want a 64-bit if you can use
it. Yes, if you possibly can. So how do you handle then those old 32-bit programs? You go to Microsoft and install it on the newer operating system.
And to all intents and purposes, when you install that program on this Windows Virtual PC, it says, "Hey, I'm Windows XP." You know, the other possible solution is you could run Microsoft's remote desktop connection.
And you can remote into the old machine.
And remote into the old machine.
And so then the old idea then would be, maybe you never migrate the old information.
Just slave it into the... slave it into the new machine?
Well, you can't. Well, it's not a slave.
It's not a slave.
You can't use. You won't be able to use the information off of the old machine except in the old machine. It's just one way to get to it.
But in other words, you can keep the same screen. You'll have a single screen you'll be looking at.
See, and most of the time, what he wants his information migrated into the new system so that he can look up historical information. Right. He can get a full record of his
accounts,
and his customers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But this won't give him that. This will just allow him to run two machines virtually off of one machine.
Right, and have it only one at the front. And the other ones are in the back somewhere, or the other one's virtual.
Or the other one is virtual. Okay. So we wanted to give you that as another option as well. So, Steve, thank you very much for calling. And for some of you out there with businesses, I wanted to take a little more time because that actually handles a problem a lot of people who are in the business world are facing as well.
Or gives you a workaround.
Yeah, or gives you a workaround. 800-859-0957. Richard from Brighton, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a Dell Inspiron running Windows XP, and I was downloading my Microsoft Security data like you suggested many times.
Yeah, Security Essentials?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I got a message said that I had several viruses, and to click on this button to find out what they were. And evidently, it tricked me into downloading something called PC Cleaner.
Oh, yes. It tricked you, too, because you don't necessarily want
to
do that.
I ended up having to call them because my machine locked up.
Oh,
and they said, well, it'll take $300 because you've got a lot of viruses to get everything so you can open it up again.
And what type of accent did they have?
Was it Indian accent?
I was going to say Russian, Chinese.
We had the same thing.
South African.
Yeah. By the way, folks, listen to this, because we've had the same thing happen 2 weeks in a row, where you go in looking for help for some place and they try to upsell you to a system.
Well, what happened was this, he had Microsoft Security Essentials on there, but this bogus pop-up came up, and it looks very similar to it.
Yeah. And they kept repeating that they are certified Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if they didn't tell you that, you wouldn't have done it.
Right.
So they had to tell you that so that they could trick you.
Right.
It's hard. This is something that we tell people, but you know what? It's hard. Because
I think we've all been bitten.
What do you believe, right?
I know
what
people that make $300,000, $500,000 a year, and they get tricked.
And they're really smart.
Yeah.
Right. That's called spear phishing. I like that term. Well, people that are going after phishing, which is conning you online, and they go spear phishing, meaning they go after the CEO. Sometimes that's the easiest way in. Because never mind, I won't even say not my CEO. I just want to make sure in case he's listening.
But some CEOs. I wasn't going to go for it.
No.
Buy a new computer.
No.
Well, there's ways to clean it up. What's the cocktail?
Well, here's what I do. When I see this happening, the first thing I do, even an infection on a computer, I do a system restore. Windows XP, Vista, Windows 7, they all support system restore. Right. So you go into Start, All Programs, Accessories, System Tools, and there's a utility in there called System Restore.
Or you can just search for it.
Or you can just search for it in the newer versions of Vista
and Windows 7.
And Windows 7. Now,
and that's part of it, maybe, right?
If you do that, then if you don't do that right away, one of the first things this virus does is it disables System Restore.
Yeah, so you got to do it right away.
So if System Restore doesn't work for you,
what about the combo fix?
Yeah, well, you know, power up your computer in safe mode, shut down the computer, power it up in safe mode with networking, and you do that by tapping the F8 key, and you should then be able to still go to a website and download, Malwarebytes or
CombiFix. And you've got a lot of those in our toolkit on our homepage. If you go to GetToInternetAdvisor.net, go to the toolkit. And it has a lot of those free ones in there. The cocktail that Gary was referring to that we often use is Malwarebytes, and then after that, CombiFix, which work. CombiFix, is that working?
Sometimes you have to do both because they kind of some will Malwarebytes will take care of some of it. CombiFix will take care of some other parts of it. If you don't get there in time to get System Restore and make that work, and that becomes disabled or it's infected, what happens at the restore points, this is another option before you basically wipe everything off.
Malwarebytes is simpler. CombiFix is a little more detailed, and it can throw some tech terms at you that you may not understand.
Right.
Another thing that happens with these types of viruses, these scareware that look like an antivirus program, and they trick you into thinking you're having a virus where they themselves have the virus, is one of the things they'll do is they'll start removing your desktop icons. Yeah. They'll clean out all your program files links.
Yep.
They're all gone. And you're like, what happened to my desktop files, all my documents? Well, they're all hidden on your computer
or
moved to other locations.
Yeah, they're there.
So one of the things you could potentially do is log in as another user. At early stages of this virus infection, those other user accounts may not be infected yet. And they still may have functionality. But even then, you could still power up the computer in safe mode and log into that other user account if you have a multifamily
and then
desktop.
And then use the Malwarebytes.
Or use the administrative account instead of the user account.
That's right.
If it's beyond that, poor boy, you might have to take it to a professional.
Or a good professional to take it to.
Or Format C.
Or back up your data. In safe mode, who would you recommend? I do this a lot on the side. I know you do too. Best Buy
He's out in the Brighton area. So, we don't have anybody in particular to recommend out there. As a matter of fact, what we're trying to do is essentially give you stuff that you can do yourself.
Right.
A lot of things in the, a lot of these kids and people that are laid off right now that used to do what I do, and there are a lot of techs like that, they advertise in the local papers. They say virus removal.
Very good. And some of your local computer shops can do
it. Small
what you need to know, I guess, shops. Richard, on the bottom line for you and for everybody else listening is...
Time is not on your side. You've got to do it quickly.
You've got to work quickly, but there are free solutions out there that can help you. And the ultimate would be that you just simply wipe out your hard drive, reinstall the system, and go back again.
Yep.
But I hope you don't have to get to that point.
And if you can't do it quickly, you know, shut your machine down, take it offline.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, back to answer more of your questions here at 800-859-0957. The key to answering your question. Delighted to have you with us here on the Internet Advisor. And by the way, this hour, our second hour, is traditionally one, in case you just, you know, maybe listening to this for the first time, when people call in with their questions, the ones, the problems they're dealing with, and we tackle them as best we can here on the air. During the week, or if you happen to be listening to us on the network and don't have a chance to, you know, call in right now, you can also email us with your questions. But even better, go into the forums on the internetadvisor.net and then just sign in there. It's a simple process, and put your question in there, and there's a whole bunch of people that will look at it during the week. We try to find as many ways as we possibly can to help you to answer questions that you have. One of the things, guys, I wanted to talk about just quickly, we talked about removing a virus just now. It's a every weekend we're talking about that with somebody. I think all of us have wrestled with people with infected machines and cleaned them up. And maybe we eventually got them done, but it sometimes took 3-4 hours. Not all the time working, but waiting for a process to go through or a scan or something like that. How much time do you give before you say, you know something, it will be probably better if we just reinstalled the system?
Did you say 3 or 4 hours? That I don't think I've ever done it for 3 or 4 hours, maybe 3 or 4 days. But no, really. After about...
You'd be lucky if it were 3 or 4 hours.
Actually, after about 3 or 4 hours, I generally will get to the point where it's like, you know, really, it's if you've got a good backup, we're going to cut bait.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And we're going to reload the operating system. Now, the plus to that is two things. Number one, you get rid of the virus or malware that's been driving you nuts. But what's even better than that is you get a fresh load of the OS.
Yeah.
You get all the new patches, lay them on there. You get it all built up. It's a nice, clean, smooth running machine. All the junk has been cleared out of it. Not just the viruses, but all the stuff that didn't get cleaned up over the years.
Cruft.
Yeah. and the machines actually run a lot nicer after that. I mean, like, you know, if you have a machine that someone bought XP on and last 5 years have never reloaded it, you reload it and you go like, well, this thing really isn't running too bad for its age.
Because you get a lot of registry damage in there too, Ed, you know, that, you know, bits and pieces of stuff in there.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I really don't know what the heck slows it down. You can have a computer that's been sitting there for 5 years and you've never installed another program. You just received the security updates and the antivirus updates and it'll still slow down. So yeah, I imagine it's the registry.
Somebody said with Windows, you just need to reload it every so often.
I don't think it really slows down for technical people. I think it's because we're exposed to faster ones. Then we go back and we look at the old ones and go like, man, this is slow as molasses.
Right.
And it
you
really
know,
isn't.
But, you know, these viruses have caught all of us.
Yes.
So
Absolutely.
It's really nothing that the individual callers, I mean, it's happened to everyone.
Yeah.
So don't panic about it.
No.
Hopefully someone can back up your data to an external flash drive and re-image it if you have your manufacturing restore CDs. When you buy a new computer, you're not going to get restore CDs. So follow the instructions from the manufacturer
make
to
those.
Make those restoration DVDs right away.
However, I have had a few friends come to me in the same situation. So what do you do? And I said, well, don't you want a new one?
We ought to get a commission.
You need
a note
to your wife and to tell her you really need a new one.
Dave, you know, at one point in the program, this is years ago, remember that? We were going to give out a certificate.
That's right.
If you need a certificate to your wife, this is always kidding
is
the guys.
To spend the extra money.
To spend the extra money, we'll send one out. Officially notified.
It's kind of like in the same category as golf clubs. You know, you don't really need them, but why not?
We don't have to do that now because the men and their man kids have upgraded to 60-inch TVs or 80-inch TVs.
Oh,
not
boy.
The computers anymore.
So maybe we need a TV certificate.
Oh, no, there's a point. Maybe that's it. Hey, Bob from Belleville, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I have an iMac, the 2008. Mm-hmm. I'm running, I believe it's Lion, whatever the one is underneath the latest one.
Oh, that'd be Snow Leopard.
That'd be Snow Leopard.
Yeah, Lion is
Snow
the,
Leopard. Oh, okay, yeah, Lion's the next one.
Yep, mm-hmm. The new one.
Anyway, I've always been very careful, you know, and load up the stuff of the new salt, you know, whatever the updates and so on and so forth. So all of a sudden, I see Flash Player on there. So I download it. And then I go on the internet and looking at some stuff. And oh, by the way, if you did Flash Player, you just got a hell of a virus.
Well, remember, that's what that virus was, that the Microsoft or the
the Mac Trojan. Virus, the Trojan, was
worked
a,
on a
it advertised itself as a flash player.
Exactly. My point is, now my computer doesn't tell me I have it. What I'm asking.
So, Cal, what was the removal technique? What was the tools you guys used?
There is a, you can go to apple.com and put in flash virus, and it will take you to a link that will give you a tool that you can download and run against your machine that will check for it, and if it's on there, take it off.
Okay.
But you're asking a bigger question, if I'm right on this. You're also asking, how do I know if I have a virus on my Mac? Because, to be honestly, you and I think probably the majority of Mac users, we've been existing in this world that's been pretty much virus-free until recently.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only way you can find out if you got a virus on any computer is to have some sort of tool to detect whether or not viruses are there. So right. Then you'd have to download some sort of antivirus program to run on the Mac in order to be able to go out there and look and see if you got a virus for it.
Do you have one you suggest?
There's a website at lifehacker.com, and if you go out there, they have a list of different antivirus software out there that you can try. Some you can buy, some are free. Sophos is a good one that's mm-hmm. free. ClamXV, I believe, is the one
XAV. ClamXV, I think it is.
That's the one that Foster is using.
Also, as I was reading on with this, it said if you had Lion, I don't know if it messed with the snow leopard.
Well, if you had Lion, then it's not so much. There was two viruses. One was dealing with Flash. The other one was dealing with Java.
Yeah.
And on Lion, Java is not enabled. You have to turn it on in order for it to be on there, and then it can get infected by whatever this virus that's out there. On Snow Leopard, Java was turned on automatically, so that made you susceptible to being infected.
And there was a way, for instance, with because I run Lion, for instance, that you could go on and you could tell Java to work only, like, for instance, I have Chrome that I work with, or you could be using Safari or Firefox, that you would essentially say, don't ask me when something comes up that needs Java. And then you could, on a case-by-case basis, say, okay, I wanted to play there. To be honest with you, it got to be such a nuisance.
Yeah,
it got to be such a nuisance, I said, the heck with
it. Just put on good antivirus and turn on Java, because most sites use it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I found, Gary. As Cal said, the one that, matter of fact, Cal, you recommended to me this a long while back, is the ClamXAV. Yep. That's a free one. And then Sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S. Sophos is a big antivirus company, and very good. You mentioned, however, that you got a machine that your client wanted McAfee on.
Right. I'm currently running McAfee on my MacBook Air right now, and it takes care of all my scanning and stuff as far as viruses.
But there was something about that, though, you've discovered.
If you don't tune it properly, it will tie up a lot of your computer's resources.
But
I do have a quick question also.
Yeah.
Since Foster, you just said you're still running Snow Leopard.
No. I'm running Lion now. Running Lion. Yeah.
My computer, I wanted to go to the Leopard or whatever the heck.
The
it
Lion.
Is.
Lion. Right.
Lion.
Next one.
And my unit, my Mac is a 2008. I can only put 2 megabytes of memory in it.
2 gigabytes of memory in it. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. Will it slow it down that much?
Lion, yeah. Cal, what do you think?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah,
because first of all, Lion is a lot thinner than Snow Leopard is, because they took out a couple of things that were in there that they don't need anymore. I'd say I think it's going to run pretty good for you.
I've been very hesitant to download it update the whole thing.
You don't need it, right? You don't need Lion. You just like
really.
To do it.
Here's where the hook is going to be at. It's not so much that Lion's going to slow your system down. It's because you don't have as much memory in it. You can't do as many things without slowing the system down. So you'll have Lion running, and then you just open up Word, and you got a browser going, and you got your email going, and you're doing some
Garage
Photoshop
Band and
stuff going on.
You know, if Snow Leopard has been working for you, I would really hold off.
Yep.
There's one coming called Mountain Lion, and I don't know if that'll be any better, but one of the people have said, and I kind of agree in some ways, that Lion has been Apple's Vista because it has introduced problems that just weren't around with Snow Leopard. Now, it may be because of other things going ahead, but I'm just talking as a rookie. I'm still at 4 years, a rookie user of the Apple platform, so Cal, I don't know if that's a fair characterization.
Oh, by the way, just to let you know, your machine can take 4 gigabytes of memory, not just 2.
Yes, it will, and we tried, And I've even taken it back to Apple. For some reason, that motherboard will only allow two. They don't know why. I don't know. Oh, we went crazy with this thing. We went for 2 months playing with this, with the Crucial Memory people.
Yeah.
And then I ended up taking it back to Apple, and they took it and they looked at it and said, "You know what? We don't know why, but you're right. It will only take the two."
So they wouldn't.
And we've matched them and rematched. We did all kinds of crazy things.
You know,
well,
they wouldn't
the only
put
thing
the.
We could do is that.
You should ask them to put another motherboard in.
Well, it's well out of warranty, and they said, sure, for another $500.
Yeah, but it was that way when you bought it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just didn't discover it until afterwards.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a manufacturing flaw.
It is a manufacturing flaw. Sorry about that, Bob. Hope we helped you with that.
Yeah, those things don't just happen.
No, they don't. All right. Thank you so much for that call. We'll be back to take Dave and Bob and maybe your call as well. I want to thank you very much for being with us this week. We got a couple calls we're going to get to before we wrap things up. Andy Nichols, thank you so much for once again gracing us with your presence. And Rich Lozinski, thank you for being behind the board. And Big Red, Eric is back with us again. Thanks so much for being here, too. And guys, thanks so much for being in the studio here. For the rest of you out there, InternetAdvisor.net. It's a great resource, all sorts of things there. And as I mentioned a little earlier on in the program, what I'm trying to do with our Facebook page is to use that as a place where I pop up a lot of different news stories throughout the week that we run into that we think would be of interest to you. And, you know, just as kind of quickly, if you would go to our Facebook page right now. And by the way, right on our homepage, InternetAdvisor.net, you can click over to the Facebook logo there and be taken right to our page. But you'll find things on there like Inconomics, saving money by spending more on your printer, about the Facebook IPO. We had some things in there about, for instance, Mike Wendland suggesting that you get rid of social cam on Facebook. I ran into this. I decided to link up because so many people were using it. He says, get out of that as quickly as you can because it will deposit all sorts of information all over your timeline.
Yeah, I would never get into it for that reason.
No, yeah, exactly. And I had, you know, kind of caved into that and had because so many people were sending me stuff. Yeah. And as soon as I saw Mike's thing, boom, I got out of it. But that's the kind of thing that I put now on our Facebook page. So please do, friend us on Facebook and like it, and you'll be able to see what we've got going on there as well. All right, let's dive right back into the calls here and say hello to Dave in Ann Arbor, the seat of all wisdom and understanding.
Well, thank you for taking my call, guys.
Thanks for calling.
I have a Windows XP machine, and I bought a new Windows 7 machine.
Good.
And all I really want that I can't get are the contacts, but I'm having a heck of a time. I uploaded them to my IPS, and anyway, I can't get them to my contact in the Windows 7. Do you have any suggestions?
When you said, I think what you meant,
ISP.
You uploaded to your ISP, your internet service, when you say you uploaded it, does that mean you put
to
your...
I took them up to Yahoo, and then I thought I could bring them back, but I don't get all of it. All I'm getting is the internet addresses.
And where do you want to put them? Are you using Outlook?
Outlook, yeah.
Okay, so he could take them directly from his XP Outlook and migrate those to any new machine, right?
Right, he could export those to a CSV file or a comma-separated value, which it sounds like he may have already done when he went and imported them through Yahoo. What was the email system you're using on XP, and what's the email system you're using in Windows 7?
Windows 7 is Outlook.
Okay. And what was your previous one? Was that Yahoo?
It was Outlook also, wasn't
okay.
it?
Okay,
so this
really?
Is easy.
So this is easy. You could just export those. But, you can use the Outlook on your...
But it's an older XP system.
That's okay.
Service Pack 3.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Don't worry about it.
Dave, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Tell him how to export.
Go into your contacts within Outlook XP or Outlook 2002 or 2003 that you're running, and when you're in your contacts, you have the ability of selecting File, Export. And when you export it, you then have the ability to select, how would you like to export that? And you want to select that you want to export it as a DOS slash CSV file, comma-separated value, or an Excel spreadsheet, basically.
Mm-hmm. And you do it any number of times, or if you only get one shot?
No, you can do it as many times as you want. And you tell it, I wish to export it. It's going to say, what file name would you like to give this?
Sure.
And you give it a name like Contacts, and I want to save it on my desktop
so yeah. I know where it's at on your Windows XP system.
Or put it on a USB drive and then take and sneakernet it over to the new system.
And then, yes, or you could export it.
I thought I'd done all that, guys, and maybe I did it wrong.
Well, here's what you do. Here's what
Then in the newer system, once you're in Outlook, you can select context and you select file import. Or you can go to the new Office 2007 or Office 2010, whichever one you're using, and type in the help. Type in, how do I import contacts? And it'll give you step-by-step instructions within Outlook.
So bottom line for you, Dave, is you may have had trouble up to this point, but really it's a very simple process once you understand that the contacts you have in the old machine can be exported to a file that you save on your desktop. Then you can, you know, plug a little USB stick in there and pull them over onto that. Call them old contacts, for instance.
Well, you're going to they're contacts that are going to go into the new one.
When you then take that USB thing and you plug it into your new machine, and you go into your Outlook, then say import, and then look for the old contacts that are on the thumb drive and just import them.
Okay. Now that'll just bring over your contact information. But if you have
calendar?
No, if you have photos associated with each of those contacts, that's not going to come over. So one of the things you can do, and I do this for many of the executives that have this more advanced information in there, is you have the ability of creating a new personal folder, and then you just copy your contact folder into the new personal folder you created. But that gets a little more detailed in there. I'm sure that the exporting of the contacts to a CSV file would be more than adequate. And if not, then you can let us know at theinternetadvisor.net by going into our forums, and I'll provide you how to create a personal PST file.
Okay, well, I'm going to try again, but I was able to export it to like a phone book. I forget what it was called, but
there's a whole bunch of files.
Yeah.
I got it exported to that, but I have not been able to export it to a thumb drive or
Dave,
a desktop.
Just to sort things out, Dave, it sounds like what you've done is you've exported it to an online phone book in Yahoo, and that may be where your problems are.
Right.
Good news is, don't even worry about that.
Do it over again.
Yeah, you can do it over again.
And that's why I suggested when you export it, and make sure you select CSV file, comma-separated value.
Yeah, comma-separated value.
Right. Okay, then in the location on the left-hand side, you want to select desktop. Once it's there, you'll actually see that it shows up as an Excel file on your Windows desktop. And then use whatever means you want to do to copy it to an external flash drive so that you, as Gary suggested, bring it over to the other unit.
And then you will simply import that file into your Outlook on your new machine.
Go to Outlook and options and import.
Okay, Dave, I hope we've given you some steps for that. It can seem a little intimidating, but the good news is it's rather simple to do when you have Outlook on the new machine as well. All right, let's wrap things up with Bob from Garden City. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, guys, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had a problem lately on my XP machine. When I go to the bottom left corner and I hit the start, and then it opens up the menu for me, I can go to locations on the left side, but not the right side. I can't open my documents. I can't open pictures. When I try to do that, what it does is it takes all my icons off my home screen, and it reloads everything on the toolbar.
Okay. Reloads everything on the toolbar.
You mean the launch bar at the bottom?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The launch bar at the bottom, right?
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
It's just like it's trying to reboot.
Yeah.
Oh, so it crashes your desktop.
Yeah.
And so everything goes blank for a second, and then it redraws everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you
try.
Okay. Yeah. Something's crashing on there. It sounds like you might have a corrupt user profile. Yeah. Do you have multiple user accounts on this PC that you could?
No, I don't.
Try. What do you think, Cal? Do
you
think
you could try to go into Control Panel and create one?
Yep. Go.
But if you can't get to Control Panel because it's on that right side menu that comes up after you go to All Programs, you could probably go down to the bottom and go to Run and then put in CMD, but I can't think of how to start the Control Panel up that way.
Yeah, there's a command that you would actually enter, and I don't have it memorized.
You might try doing that in
safe mode.
Oh, excellent idea, guys. Yeah. Thanks. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. In other words, reboot your computer and go to just keep on pressing F8. Safe mode will come up, and you should be able to do it there. Bob, we got to wrap on that. Again, Ed has suggested before, go into our forums at internetadvisor.net if you have any other questions out there. And all throughout the week, we'd love to be able to help you. And there's a world of stuff out there. Guys, thanks so much for being in here for the program.
And hey, it's fun.
And have him stick on the, I'll talk to him off the air.
Okay. Yep. And we'll see if we can help you off the air as well. Thank you so much for joining us with the Internet Advisor. And we look forward to seeing you here again soon, just before Mother's Day this coming week. Thank you so much for being with us on the Internet Advisor.
You've been listening to a podcast of the second hour of WJR's Internet Advisor. To hear previous podcasts, visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.